Hello.
Hi.
So we've got a day on this topic of compassion and wisdom, wisdom and compassion. Looking into what both of those mean in our experience, you know, the quality of compassion and the quality of wisdom. We've all got, I think, you know, some degree of each. It's a kind of latent qualities, you could say. And Dharma practices give us amazing resources to develop these qualities. And these qualities are very, I'm trying to find words which aren't like growthful, or they're very sort of enabling of human development. Because in a way, wisdom is the quality where we let go the obstacles of our rather habitual views about reality, and compassion is the quality where we let go our the barriers that we have set up in relation to others, and move into more, it's more our relationships with others. I want to explore compassion and wisdom through the qualities of the Brahmaviharas. You might have heard of the Brahmaviharas. You probably all heard. Who hasn't heard of the Brahmaviharas? 1, 2, 3. Haven't heard of the Brahmaviharas. It's just a set of. It's not a Buddhist list. Another Buddhist list of qualities. I'll let you know what those are. But they're, in a way, they're quite basic qualities which we all have some experience of, which Buddhism puts together in a kind of spectrum of useful mental states. So there's basically goodwill, you know, human goodwill. There's compassion, which is the main topic. There's a kind of appreciation. There's the appreciation you can have for people who are having a good time, whose lives are going really well. This kind of appreciation is difficult if you don't feel you're doing very well. So the quality of appreciating others' good fortune, appreciating others' happiness, is in a way quite an advanced quality. It's something we can feel envious. We can feel envious, or we can feel depressed sometimes when other people do really well. I know it's horrible, but we do. So that's the third of these qualities call it appreciation, but it's a bit more than that. And the quality of equanimity, which I'll explain as we go, which is another, in a way, quite an advanced positive emotion. So I thought we'd start by saluting the shrine, as we say, and chanting the refuges and the precepts. And while, you know, in chanting the refuges and precepts, I'd like you to reflect on what they're about. You know, what we do when we go for refuge and we take on the five precepts. It's as though in going for refuge, we recollect that we do want to practice the Dharma. We do want to realise the qualities of the Dharma. We actually do want that. So the going for refuge is a way to evoke that, you could say. So let it evoke that. And the five precepts, again, is a way to evoke that we do want to be kind. You know, we do actually want to be kind. We do actually want to be generous. We do actually want to be contented. We do want to be truthful. We'd like to be, you know, truthful. We'd like to be present, mindful, etc. So all these are qualities we're already signed up for, but doing the little ritual of the refuges and precepts is a way to invoke that. And just that feeling of wishing to be kind and generous is, you could say, the basic positive quality. It's a basic ethical quality of, we call it metta, we call it loving kindness, but it's also summed up in these five precepts.
Namo Buddhaya.
Namo Buddhaya.
Namo Dhammaya.
Namo Dhammaya.
Namo Sanghaya.
Namo Sanghaya.
Namo Nama.
Namo.
Namo Tassa.
Namo Tassa.
Bhagavato Arahato.
Bhagavato Arahato.
Sama Sambuddhassa.
Sama Sambuddhassa.
Namo Tassa.
Namo Tassa.
Bhagavato Arahato.
Bhagavato Arahato.
Sama Sambuddhassa.
Sama Sambuddhassa.
Namo Tassa.
Namo Tassa.
Bhagavato Arahato.
Bhagavato Arahato.
Sama Sambuddhassa.
Sama Sambuddhassa.
Buddham Saranam Gacchami.
Buddham Saranam Gacchami.
Dhammam Saranam Gacchami.
Dhammam Saranam Gacchami.
Sangham Saranam Gacchami.
Sangham Saranam Gacchami.
Dutiyampi Buddham Saranam Gacchami.
Dutiyampi Buddham Saranam Gacchami.
Dutiyampi Dhammam Saranam Gacchami.
Dutiyampi Dhammam Saranam Gacchami.
Dutiyampi Sangham Saranam Gacchami.
Dutiyampi Sangham Saranam Gacchami.
Tatiyampi Buddham Saranam Gacchami.
Tatiyampi Buddham Saranam Gacchami.
Tatiyampi Dhammam Saranam Gacchami.
Tatiyampi Dhammam Saranam Gacchami.
Tatiyampi Sangham Saranam Gacchami.
Tatiyampi Sangham Saranam Gacchami.
Panatipata.
Panatipata.
Veramani.
Veramani.
Sikkhapadam.
Sikkhapadam.
Samadhiyami.
Samadhiyami.
Adinadana.
Adinadana. Amesu
Michachara
Michachara
Veramani
Veramani
Sikhapadam
Sikhapadam
Samadhyami
Samadhyami
Musavada
Musavada
Veramani
Veramani
Sikhapadam
Sikhapadam
Samadhyami
Samadhyami
Suramariya
Suramariya
Majja
Majja
Amadatana
Amadatana
Veramani
Veramani
Sikhapadam
Sikhapadam
Samadhyami
Samadhyami
Sadhu
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 With deeds of loving kindness
With deeds of loving kindness
Purify my body
I purify my body
With open-handed generosity
With open-handed generosity
I purify my body
I purify my body
With stillness, simplicity and contentment
With stillness, simplicity and contentment
I purify my body
I purify my body
With truthful communication
With truthful communication
I purify my speech
I purify my speech
With mindfulness clear and radiant
With mindfulness clear and radiant,
I purify my mind.
I purify my mind.
So let's just sit with that for a few minutes. Just that quality of goodwill. Maybe you can imagine it located in your heart area, if that's helpful. And maybe that feeling of goodwill could spread through the whole body. Up. To fill the whole of the chest area. To the shoulders. Throat and all the feelings in the throat area. Relaxing them. Kind of glow like the sun inside the head, extending out to all the different organs, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the mouth, and extending right out to skin and the all the little tiny hair follicles and the hairs on the head, receiving that thing, whatever it is, that sense of goodwill. Forget the arms, the forearms, the fingers, fingertips, the palms. Then, in your own time, I don't want to rush you, but going down, all the contents, the abdomen, all the different organs in there, right down, the spine, the bones, the whole, the entire body, the legs, knees, the heels, the toenails. The soles of the feet. Right, pervading the body right out to the skin. So the whole body is filled. And perhaps it could spread out beyond the body to the walls of this room. So the whole of the space of this room becomes filled with this sense of goodwill. And all the people in this space, of course, also. Kind of lit up by the light, the warmth and the light. The entire space without any exceptions. Any little insects or other creatures might be lurking, hiding, or just relaxing. then after that the boundary of the wall, going beyond that, going beyond the boundaries of this room, boundlessly. Just everywhere, to fill the entirety of space. Just letting it go into the vastness of infinite space. Just really relaxing and letting it just extend. To all, without any distinctions, without any exceptions. Just like the sun shining on everything that happens to be there. I said it would be brief, so I'll bring the practice to an end.
I've got some notes here. I'm not quite sure if I'm going to use them or not, but the image of the sun is great for this partly because we're actually able to see it today, but the quality of the sun is that it just shines. It doesn't really matter what's there. It doesn't care, you know, if there's anybody there or not. It's just naturally, by its own, you know, own quality, it just radiates. So that's what metta's like. It's what loving kindness is like. It's in a way just simply that quality of goodwill. And it's just, if there's nobody there, it's still there, you know. So your goodwill stays with you. If there's others around, they'll pick it up. And if there was nobody around, it doesn't really matter. It's still a good quality. So that's the quality of metta. It's like the sun in that way. There's a lovely set of images that I found in... There's a book that's published quite recently by Windhorse called Compassion and Emptiness. And it's by Bhikkhu Analo, who's also written an important book on mindfulness called Satipatthana. But this new book of his, I found it incredibly useful. And I think he's invented these images. I don't think they come from the Pali Canon or anything like that, but they do really work very well for me. You've got the sun, which I think is used traditionally, but then you've got, for the image of compassion, it's the sun at sunset. It's the sun at the point where it's reached the horizon and it started to get dark. It's as though it's responding to the darkness. It's as though it's responding to the darkness. It's about to go down on the other side of the world, which you can't see. And it just becomes, at that point, becomes beautiful. It becomes beautiful. And you get all these amazing colours, apricot and gold, and you might get silver, or purple. You often get purples and blues. And it's just... That's the quality of compassion. It's an image, you could say, for compassion. It's a response to the darkness, you could put it like that. Okay, and then the image for mudita, or appreciative joy, that's the word I couldn't find earlier on. Appreciative joy is the sun at dawn. The sun at dawn, it's just come up, and this is lovely quality, it's fully come up. And you've got this lovely, fresh quality. And you can imagine the birds singing, right? You imagine the birds singing. And you can imagine the dew on the grass. At those moments when you are up that early, maybe in the country, and you just see the sun sort of bouncing off the dew and the sort of little rainbow colours coming off the dewdrops. It's just a completely sparkly, fresh sort of quality. And also the sun's going up in the sky. It's aspiring. It's going up. It's about to have it the whole day, as it were. It's the quality of mudita, or appreciative joy. And then the quality of upeksha, or equanimity, which is something which we'll have to get round to clarifying as the day goes on. Because there's a lot to say, and I don't want to just sum it up in a few words. But the quality, get the image first, right? The image is the sun reflected in the full moon. It's a mysterious image. You've got the full moon at night. It's just kind of, sometimes you see it, it looks like it's moving because the clouds are moving, And you get the sense of the full moon, it's the brightest thing in the sky, but it's dark. the sky is dark, so it's not that bright, really. It's got this reflected light, and it's a kind of it can be different colours. It can be a creamy sort of white, or a silvery sort of white. And it just has this mysterious, almost aloof quality of being above it all, at the same time, very beautiful in the sky. That's the image for equanimity. These four practices that I mentioned before, they're called the Brahmaviharas. Another word for them actually is the Aparimanas, which I like because it means the Aparimana means the boundlessness. It means the boundless state. It's beyond barriers and boundaries. There's a very, that this breaking through barriers is a very important aspect of metta-bhavana and all of these practices. Like, for example, when we did that little exercise, by the way, is in a way just a way to explore the radiation stage of the metta-bhavana practice. But you kind of break through the boundary of the body. First of all, you get a sense of the body has its limits in the skin. And then you can kind of go beyond that and you go out to this room, or our imagination of this room. And that's the container. And the container is again filled with this quality. And then you kind of break beyond that boundary, or that limit, you could say, out to a limitless state, or a limitless sense of space, which is like everywhere, everything. And I'm sure when you did that practice, I have no idea actually if you even related to it at all, but to the extent to which you did, there's a kind of sense of going beyond one's limits. And I don't know about you, but I often find in the metta-bhavana practice, when we do that final stage of radiation, it's often a bit short. And when I do spend time with it, there's a sense of, I'm not quite sure where this is going. I'm not quite sure. I can even feel I lose my ground in that final stage. So today, one of the things I'd like to do today is actually explore that sense of boundlessness and opening up to infinite space in these practices, metta, karuna, etc. The teaching of the Brahma Viharas, particularly the Metta Bhavana, which you'll all know pretty well, particularly the Metta Bhavana, but all of these Brahma Vihara practices, they're all roughly the same. We usually teach them in terms of developing that quality towards ourself, towards a good friend, towards someone who appears to be neutral, and then towards a difficult person, and then out to all beings. That's the usual sequence in all of these practices. You connect with compassion, you do the same thing. You connect with appreciative joy, you do the same thing. This way of practicing is from the commentarial Buddhist tradition. It's quite late. And you find these practices being written down from the original oral Buddhist tradition, a good 1,000 years after the Buddha taught them, they're written down in these commentaries. If you look at earlier texts, which were written down earlier from the oral tradition, the Buddha, for example, never talks about these five different stages. All he talks about is the radiation. He just talks about radiating the metta out. By the time we get to Buddha Gosha in the 5th century, I think, we are talking about these five stages. And it seemed that in the Buddhist tradition, it was found to be useful. It was just found to be useful to have these kind of points of reference. And I think that's why we do it like that. You know, it is quite useful to have a good friend. There's some sort of response. There's a kind of no response to the neutral person. So you have to kind of fill in the gap, and you have to come up with something in relation to the neutral person. You know, the difficult person, it's a challenge. It's a good challenge because it stretches your capacity to empathize with a horrible person. You know, it stretches that capacity, and that stretching is good. It's good for you, you know. And in that way, we exercise our capacity to love others. Yeah. But there's also something to be said for what happens in that last stage. Um, And this is where these practices relate to the quality of wisdom. There's this quality of going beyond limits, going beyond limitations. And in the five-stage practice that we're often taught, there is a stage of breaking down the barriers. It's in the beginning of the fifth stage, you're supposed to, this isn't always taught, but you're supposed to equalize the feeling between yourself, the good friend, the neutral person, and the difficult person. So there's a sense of, when I was doing the practice earlier on, I had a bit more of a sense of a feeling for this person than that person. So you kind of take that, if you can remember who the people are, right? There's a sense of being, there's a preference for one or the other. And so you work with that and you try to equalise the feeling. So actually, you can have as much as he's got, you know. you can have as much as they've got. And you kind of equalise the feeling. And then it's from that equalisation of the loving kindness that you extend out to include all beings, and that's the, in a way, the trigger that enables the radiation phase, and that little sub stage is called breaking down the barriers. So you get this quality of breaking down the barriers also in the radiation itself, because there's a bit of a sense of, I don't know how far I can take this with the radiation. So you have to kind of relax that. Say, it's okay. My imagination can go further than this. I can extend out further and further, and I can include more, and so on. There's a sense of complete pervasion of the whole universe that way. What is actually happening is a bit of a mystery. This is just your imagination, isn't it? But at the same time, our imagination is what is holding our whole lives together. So, you know, to work with the imagination is also to work with everything that's happening in our lives. So there we have the two kind of methods of practice. You've got Buddha Ghosha's method, the commentarial method of the practice, and the Buddha's method of simply sending out the quality of compassion, or whatever it is, out into space. And you've got these four or five stages, exercising our capacity for comparison and giving some sort of sense of dimension to our love or our lack of love in those practices. And I spoke about this is where it connects with wisdom again, because I spoke about radiating out to limitless space. And space, it's one of the six elements, space. It's one of the elemental qualities of our experience. We always have a sense of location. I think I'm over here, you know, you think you're over there. If you came right here and you kind of sat on this red thing here, I would feel you're invading my space. And you might feel that you're invading my space as well. We definitely have a sense of location here. And actually, when we did that meditation earlier, and I said try and locate the feeling, I don't know if you could do that. Maybe I'll find out later. But we can have a sense of a location within the body. For example, we might feel that, we definitely feel our heart is in our chest, for example. We have a strong sense of the location of the different parts of our body. Location is a big part of our consciousness. So the element of space works with these reference points. So imagining infinite space and imagining qualities being given out or radiated out into space exercises this sense of the references that we have. And actually, these reference points are pretty arbitrary. You know, you choose one. It always exists in relation to another one. But our whole sense of space is built upon this very, it's just our idea of something which we can't really grasp. And so the idea of taking the imagination out into space breaks that down, and breaks down our sense of identification with me here somehow. So there's a kind of wisdom quality there. It's what gives these location points value is just this idea of me being here, as it were. And this is all very illusory, you could say. This is all very illusory. It's all reference. It's referencing something which is completely dependent and completely it's all relative, as it were, to different, to other things. So, you know, the sense of me being here is, in a way, it's completely relative, and it's something we don't really understand. And so, any practice that in which we look into the relativity of this is a wisdom practice, because we start to just exercise our capacity to think of ourselves as, in a way, conditioned, open, could be anything, could be all kinds of things. It's not limited, it's not fixed, it's not something permanent, and it's certainly not what we think it is. So this sense of me, or this sense of self, is something that is really, really open, actually, to interpretation. It's highly interpreted. It's open. It's open to all the stories that we tell ourselves about it. It's open to all these things. So a practice like the one we've been engaging with, like the Metta-Bhava, they actually are. They call into question all our ideas about who we are, in a good way. You know, so to look at these in a different way is liberating, and it opens up a whole sense of who we are and what we could become. So this is where the practice of love and compassion and so on meet the practice of wisdom, which undercut our fixed ideas of who we are. And it's all a bit mysterious and rather difficult to explain sometimes. So this is what we call shunyata, or emptiness, is that everything that we come into contact with is relative to some other idea of it, and it's dependent upon conditions, and it's usually us that's giving value to those particular. I think I've pretty much finished this bit. I've got another talk which I'm going to give this afternoon. But in a way, this is sketching out the basic ground of what I'm trying to get across in this day, which is that love, compassion, appreciative joy, all these positive, these major positive qualities, are definitely something that can be developed and focused on and meditated on and made much of and deepened and so on. And that And engaging with these qualities, we raise basic questions about ourself and our ideas about ourselves and other people as well, therefore other people. And it just opens all that out in a way that's liberating. That will do. Anything else can come out of your questions, which you might have. So what we're going to do, we're going to do some meditation in a minute, and then we'll have a break, and then we'll do some more meditation, because I think meditation works better in the morning. And then in the afternoon, I've got another talk, and we'll have more discussion in the afternoon and a bit more meditation. We might manage to fit a puja in at the end as well. Just getting the in the groove. So make sure you're comfortable. If you haven't got the cushions, if you're sitting in the wrong place or whatever, you need to change. You've got a few minutes if you need it. So experiencing the body settling in its own way. Make sure the alignment of the body, of your body, is good. So however you're sitting, the weight should be going down to the sitting bones. The spine should be free, not slumped, not leaning. The hands should be placed so that the chest can be open and the shoulders can be relaxed back. So really good awareness of the posture as you settle into your seat. There's a light sense of uplift at the crown. Jaw is drawn back just a little tiny bit. The brows and the whole of the skin of the face quietening and stilling. Once you become aware of them. The eyes and behind the eyes begin to quieten. And you can feel the breathing the touch of the breath
can hear the sound outside and inside the room. All these changing sensations coming and going, constantly changing. So we emphasize the stability, the relative stability of the body. And the breath entering and leaving the body. So see if you can rest your attention continuously in the movement of the breath, just for a while, just to stabilize the experience. The breath in the body. And within that, in your own time, connecting again with that sense of goodwill, it's the wish to be kind, generous. not in an exaggerated way, just simply how it is today, this morning, right now. It doesn't have to be strong. Try to touch the authentic quality of loving kindness. Without anything artificial at all. I'm wishing that, first of all, for yourself, for your life, for your experience. May I be well. May I do all the things that I need to do in order to be truly, genuinely happy and fulfilled. Just have that wish for yourself. Then call to mind a good friend, or someone who roughly fits into that category.
the same way. As you experience them, responding to them with this wish that they may find the way to become genuinely, truly happy and fulfilled. May they be happy. May they create the conditions for happiness in their lives. We don't know what those are. It's best not to think about it too much, but just use your thinking to connect with the quality, and then just let the breathing and the body and the momentum of the practice hold the practice. Keep it flowing in a way that the focus on the good friend is the main thing. Next, on to the neutral person. Just choose someone who roughly fits. Not very important who they are. connecting with that, with the wish that this person find the conditions for happiness, a sense of goodwill towards them. May they be well. And just dwelling on them in this way. Mind relaxed, receptive. With a heart of goodwill. Starts getting a bit dull. Can use the breathing to carry the practice. Stay as present as you can. Your experience is changing all the time. Stay with it. And then making the shift to the difficult person. Anyone who fits that category. Holding them in your heart with goodwill, may they find a way, may they do what is will bring them actual, genuine happiness. Letting go the obstacles in your own heart to that wish. Breathing in, breathing out. Present with what's actually happening. It may not be very strong, that's not important. What's important is the extent to which you mean it, the truth of it. Is what's important. And then the stage of breaking down the barriers. Just remember who you had before, a good friend, the neutral person, the difficult person, and you all together, and equalizing the feeling between each of them, all. letting the sun shine freely towards each, equally, just as it is. And with that equality of goodwill, letting that flow out to the boundaries of this room and everybody who's here, who happens to be here, just relax with it and trust practice. Any sense of resistance or awkwardness about the practice, recognize that as a barrier that can be dissolved and let go of. We're constantly working with that kind of thing in this practice. When you feel ready, just go beyond the boundary of the wall, this room, the ceiling, the floor. And extend out boundlessly without any limits. To all beings everywhere. Just very naturally, without exaggeration, without pumping anything up artificially, simply giving out into that completely unknown, unknowable, boundless dimension of life, of which you are an important part. Just relaxing and trusting the practice boundlessly. we'll have a 20-minute break.